Okay, today's daf is Yuma Daf Yud Zayin. We left off at the very top of Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. So the first half of the daf, it's a pretty short daf. The first half of the daf, we're still in Maseches Midos. We're going to discuss how to be metarit the stira in terms of the placement of the four lishchas, particularly the lishchas hatzla'im, which we dealt with in yesterday's daf, and the way of dealing with the stira between the Mishnah in Tamid and the Mishnah in Midos was by saying that all the Mishnayos in Midos, we said yesterday was Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, but now we're going to have a different way of dealing with that stira. In today's daf, we're going to suggest a second approach of dealing with the stira in terms of whether the lishchas hatzla'im was in the miktsoa Tzvonis Ma'aravis, or whether it was in the Miktsoa Ma'aravis Dromus, was it in the northwest or in the southwestern corner of the Beis Hamokad. So that is essentially going to be what we discuss in the first half of the daf, and we're going to relate that, however we answer that stira, to an additional seeming stira in terms of the placement of the lishcha where they made the lechem apanim. That seems to be a contradiction as well. And then in the second half of the daf, we're going to discuss the concept of the Kohen Gadol being makrav chelek barosh and being notel chelek barosh. What exactly the Kohen Gadol is entitled to in terms of what being makrav a karban, what he's entitled to in terms of taking a karban for himself, and we're going to discuss in some detail how much of the lechem hapanim the Kohen Gadol is entitled to on any given week. Is he entitled to half, less than half? What exactly does it mean he's entitled to half, even though there are 12 loaves of bread, but maybe it's not exactly divided in the normal way, and therefore half might mean less than six. So we'll get to how he takes a portion of the lechem hapanim in the second part of today's daf. So again, we are still working on this discussion in Maseches Midos, that on the one hand we have a Mishnah, on the one end, we have a Mishnah Maseches Tamid in the third parak of Maseches Tamid, where it tells us that the Lishchas Hatzla'im was in the northwestern corner of the Beis HaMokad. And that same Mishnah, very important to point out, identifies four Lishchos, but doesn't identify the location of the four Lishchos. The only one it identifies the location of is the Lishchas Hatzla'im. It says northwest for the Lishchas Hatzla'im, and then it just says Arba Lishchos Hayusham, Lishchas Hatzla'im, Lishchas HaChosamos, Lishchas Beis HaMokad, and Lishchas Shosim Balechem Apanim. And the Lechem Apanim was the last on the list of the Lishchos that it gave in Maseches Tamid. In Maseches Midos, it identifies a location for each of the Lishchos, and the Lishchas Lechem Tale Karban of the animals is listed first as the southwest, and then the next one listed is the Lishchas Lechem Apanim as the southeastern one. So it actually identifies where the Lishchas Lechem Apanim is, and it counts the Lishchas Lechem Apanim second on the list, not fourth on the list, the way the Mishnah Maseches Tamid counted it. So again, this is still a complete side point, because we shouldn't really be discussing Maseches Midos here in Maseches Yuma, but we're going to carry on this side point until the two dots on Amud Beis. I saw interesting this morning that the Chashuke Chemed of Zilberstein says that it says in the Sefer Olamos Shecharvu about a certain Jew that was Nitkaf Bepachad Maves. Someone was after him for all his money and wanted to kill him, so he didn't know what to do. He ran to the Mariel Diskin. So Mariel Diskin said, you should learn all day Maseches Midos. You should learn Mishnayos Maseches Midos. And the guy did so, and his life was saved. The person didn't kill him. So the Chachmi Yerushalayim were trying to find a makar for the eights of the Mariel Diskin. Why Dafka Maseches Midos? So when the Satmar Rebbe heard this, the Rebbe Yailish, the Satmar Rebbe Zechar Lebracha heard this, he said, the makar for this is Gemara Maseches Vachem Daf Nindalad Am Beis, that explains the Pesukim in Sefer Shmuel Aleph, when Shaul wanted to kill David, and David ran away, Vayimalit Vayavol Shmuel Haramasa, and he went to Shmuel Haramasa to Ramah, and Vayelechu Shmuel Vayeshu bin Nayos, and David and Shmuel went together and went to Nayos. So the Gemara says, Ma inyan Nayos Eitzel Ramah. What does Nayos have to do with Ramah? They went to Ramah and then they went to Nayos. What's the connection? So the Gemara answers that they sat by Ramah and they were Oskim bin Nayos Shalolam. That they said they stayed in Ramah. That's where Shmuel had run, but they were that's where David had run rather. But they were involved in noyo shalom. Rashi explains in yanei beis habechira. So you see that when David HaMelech was afraid of getting killed, he went and he learnt up the halachas of the beis hamikdash. That's Maseches Midos, so that must have been the source for the eights of the Meril Diskin. So it could also be, Rav Zilberstein points out, it says Maseches Midos in the third parak that you're not allowed to be main of barzal al mizbeach. You're not allowed to have any iron implements touch the mizbeach because the mizbeach is the haruch yam of shaladam. Barzel is the katzer yam of shaladam. Barzel is what weaponry is made out of. So you shouldn't have a makatzer be main if on a marich. You shouldn't wave a makatzer over a marich. And the mizbeach is also matzil shalom between Klal Yisrael and Avim Shabbashmaim and Akush Baruch Hu. So you shouldn't have something that's kores on something that creates shalom. So it could be that the idea that the mizbeach is nivra is the mizbeach is created specifically laharich yam of shaladam. So when we don't have mizbeach, so what do? So we learn the inyani mizbeach, and that's considered like the mizbeach. So the mizbeach was also made to create shalom between Klal Yisrael and Avim Shabbashmaim. So you don't put a kores and mechavel on it. So when there's shalom ben Yisrael Avim Shabbashmaim, there's also shalom ben Yisrael lenachri hamavakish lamiso between a Jew and the guy who wants to kill him to save him. So maybe that's another reason to dafka learn Maseches Midos. So there's a special school of Maseches Midos that it gives us protection. So anyway, so let's see weiter. So the Gemara had asked this stira, where was Lishchas HaTalim? So yesterday we said, it's not a stira, it's Machlokas. All the Mishnayos and Midos are written by one Tana, and the Mishnah and Talmud says differently. The Mishnah and Talmud holds different than the Mishnah Maseches Midos in terms of where exactly the Lishchas HaTalim was. And it seems like it's got to be two different opinions, because they give exact locations for Lishchas HaTalim, and they give two different locations. So says the Gemara, no, a second possible answer. Rav Ada, second line from the top of Yud Zayin Amun Aleph. Rav Ada braid Rav Yitzchak Amar, Hai Lishcha Aktsuye Mekatsia. They're not arguing. The Mishnah and Talmud and the Mishnah and Midos are not arguing where the Lishchas HaTalim was. It just wasn't entirely off in a corner. It was Aktsuye Mekatsia. And because of that, because it wasn't entirely off in a single corner, so therefore it wasn't entirely to the south. It was a little bit mashuch toward the northern side. It was all the way in the west, but it wasn't entirely to the south. So that's why one of the Mishnayos describes it as southwest, and the other one describes it as northwest, because it was definitely more toward the southwest. But from a certain perspective, it wasn't all the way in the southwestern corner, so it was a little bit toward the northwest. Aktsuye mekatiu da'asi mitzafon, someone coming from the north, mischazi lebadarom, it would look like it's in the south, from the perspective of someone coming from the north, uda'asi midarom, and someone coming from the south, mischazi lebitzafon, it would look a little bit like it's in the north. So that's why the two Mishnayos described it as southwest and northwest, because they're describing it from two different perspectives, from perspective of someone who's coming from the north and the perspective of someone who's coming from the south. Now, even though someone's coming from the north, someone's coming from the south, l'chora, the walls of the Beis HaMokot itself would block you. You wouldn't see anything, because the Beis HaMokot, this is all in one giant room called the Beis HaMokot. These are four corners in the room. But remember yesterday, we pointed out that it's a machlokas how these lishchos were placed in the Beis HaMokot. Were they actually inside the Beis HaMokot, the way all of these pictures that we have in the Gemara, that you see in Rashi and Tosos over here, were they actually placed inside the Beis HaMokot? Or maybe there were rooms off of the corners of the Beis HaMokot, outside of the Beis HaMokot, then you can understand da'asi meidarom or da'asi meitzafon, someone who's coming from the north, who's coming from the south, would actually see it because if they were outside the Beis HaMokot. But of course you don't have to say that. You can just say that it doesn't mean you're actually going to see it. It means that if one were taking, if one were able to look through the wall of the Beis HaMokot and look at where exactly this Lishchas HaTalim is, he would see that it's mashuch, he would see that it's extended a little. Now exactly what a ktsuye mekatsia means is a machlokas rishonim. Rashi says that in the two corners of the Beis HaMokot, the north and the south, it was in both, sort of, because the lishcha was al pnei kol hamariv. It pretty much extended longer than normal lishcha. It ran along essentially the entire western wall of the Beis HaMokot until the northern and the southern edge, but it didn't fill up the entire wall mamish up until the edge, but it was longer than the average lishcha. The average lishcha was clearly in a corner. This extended along the length of the western side of the Beis HaMokad. The Aruch says that someone who would come from the south would not find it mamish in the south, so that's why it appeared to be in the north. And someone who came from the north would not find it in the north at all, he would find it more toward the south. But it was not mamish be'emtza, it was a little, certainly more toward the southwest than it was toward the northwest. So it still was actually located in the southwestern corner, the Lishchas HaTzalayim. It was certainly located in the southwestern corner. It was just not totally in the corner. It was a little bit off of the side. So the way the Aruch seems to understand it is it was the same size as we always thought it was. It's not any larger or smaller than we thought it was. It was the same size. It was just a little bit off of the wall, instead of off of the southern wall, and not directly touching, flush up against the southern wall of the Beis HaMokad, whereas Rashi seems to understand that it was a little bit longer, that it was a little bit of a larger lishcha that extended further into the Beis HaMokad, and that's why it seemed to be a little bit on the north side as well, from the perspective of someone coming from the south. Okay. Those are different, and there are slight variances in the other Rishonim in terms of exactly how to understand this, but the bottom line is that it wasn't 100% in the corner. So says the Gemara, great, that answers the stira about the Lishchas HaTlaim between the Mishnah Maseches Tamid and the Mishnah Maseches Midos. So says the Gemara, umestavra de b'maravis dromis havai. It's most mestaver that it was really in the maravis dromis, that really it was in the south, it was in the southwestern corner as opposed to the northwestern corner, meaning the northwestern corner was still what we said it was, right? We said that was where they went down to the Beis HaTvila in the northwestern corner. That lishcha still existed in the northwestern corner. This was really in the southwestern corner. It was just mashuch a little bit. It was just a little bit off of the southern wall. That's why that's why one of the Mishnayos identifies it as northwest. Mimai, how do I know that it must have really been in the southwestern corner and not in the northwestern corner? Midraminan lechem apanim alechem apanim. Because we also asked the stira about lechem apanim. Now keep in mind, we had two Mishnayos, one in Tamid, one in Midos. The two Mishnayos each listed four lishchos, but only two of them were described the same way. The lishchas hatzlaim and the lishchas lechem apanim were the only ones that are described as having the same function. The other two, in Maseches Tamid were listed as the lishchas hachosamos and the lishchas beis hamokad, and whereas in Maseches Midos, the other two were listed as the lishcha that they hid the Avnei Mizbeach and the lishcha that they yorid the Beis HaTvila. So there's no overlap in the other two. The only two that are described the same, and we pointed out, it's not a stira necessarily, each lishcha had multiple functions, but we don't know which two jobs were shared by any given lishcha. But the two lishchas that are described the same way should align with each other in the two Mishnayos, the lishchas HaTlaim and the lishchas Lechem Apanim. So we ask a stira about the lishchas Lechem Apanim also. What's the stira? In the Mishnah Maseches Tamid, it never defines where the lishchas Lechem Apanim is, but it lists it right after the lishchas HaTlaim. In the Mishnah Maseches Midos, it actually gives us a location on the lishchas Lechem Apanim. It tells us that it was in the southeastern corner, that the lishchas Lechem Apanim was in the southeast. So from the fact, midiramin lechem apanim lechem apanim, we ask that that's a stira, that in one of the Mishnayos it listed in the southeast, as Rashi points out. So what's the stira then? Meaning the other one doesn't give a location. Maybe they're both talking about that it's in the southeast. So Rashi points out, midiramin lechem apanim davasalka daite shehu mona vaholich derech yamin mitzafal lemarav mimarav ledarum mimidarum lemizrach, because we assume that even in the Mishnah Maseches Tamid, where it didn't give a location on the lishchas lechem apanim, there's a specific order that we list off the lishchos. So we assume that we go derech yamin, we go toward the right. So if we start from the north, we then go to the west, and from the west to the south, and from the south to the east. So lishchas hatzlaim v'tzvonus ma'aravis. The lishchas hatzlaim is identified by Maseches Tamid as being in the northwestern side, Lishcha Sachasamos be Maravis Dromus. The Lishcha Sachasamos would then be on the Maravis Dromus. Lishcha Besamokin be Dromus Mizrachus. Lishcha Sachamapanim be Mizrachus Sphonis. So then the Lishcha Sachamapanim would be on the northeastern side. Ramina Lamasins and Demidos, the Katani Dromus Mizrachus. He is a Lishcha Sachamapanim. So the stira is that the Mishnah Midos, which says explicitly where the Lishcha Sachamapanim is, says it was on the southeastern side. So how could the Mishnah and Tamid imply it was on the northeastern side? It says Beferish and Midos, it was on the southeastern side. And again, the only reason it implies that it was on the northeastern side was that we assume that we're going in a certain direction as we're describing things. So if we start with the description in Maseches Tamid of the Lishcha Satlaim being in the northwest, and we continue around the Arba Lishchos, by the time we get to the Lishchas Lechem Apanim, we are then in the northeast, because we're going around from northwest. We're going around from the northwest. We're going around toward the east, and then all the way around till we get we're going around toward the west, along the western wall, and then along the southern wall, and then back up along along the eastern wall until we get to the northeast for the Lishchas Lechem Apanim. So that's the stira that we ask by Lechem Apanim. Umishaninan, and the answer that we give for the stira and Lechem Apanim is Amar Avuna B'Rei Rav Yeshua, Mar Kachashiv Derech Yemin, Umar Kachashiv Derech Smol. Now you made a mistake in thinking that both Mishnayos are going Derech Yemin, that both Mishnayos are listing off these Lishchos by turning to the right. No, what the Mishnah Midos is counting Derech Yemin, like it says explicitly. That Mishnah, there's not, like we said, there's nothing to debate in the Mishnah Midos. The Mishnah Midos identifies exactly the location of each of the Lishchos. So that certainly is going Derech Yemin, and therefore it goes from the south to the east, from the east to the north, from the north to the west, from the west to the south. So that's Derech Yemin. But the Mishnah Maseches Tamid doesn't say which direction it's going in, so it could be going Derech Smol, and that's how we answer the stira about the Lechem Apanim. Now, how exactly does that answer the stira about the Lechem Apanim? So the Gemara points out, if you're going to say that the Lechem Apanim was in the Maravis Dromus, was in the southwest, so then it works out very well. Then the Lechem Apanim will end up in the right place, because if the Lishchas Atlaim was in the southwest, when you're going toward the left, so the next direction you're going to be in is going to be the southeast, and that's why you list the Lishchas Lechem Apanim as the second on the list, because it's in the southeast. But when you're going toward the right, that's how it would be. But when you're going toward the left, then the Lishchas Lechem Apanim will be the last one listed, and the last one listed will land you in the southeast. Meaning, you have to have the same starting point for the Lishchas Atzlaim in order for the Lishchas Lechem Apanim to make sense. If you're going to say that the Lishchas Lechem Apanim is listed second in one of the Mishnahs and fourth in the other Mishnah, that means that it was the next one over from the Lishchas Atzlaim. That only makes sense if you're going to go, if it was the next one over and you're counting from right to left, meaning it has to be either the one right before the Lishchas Atzlaim if you're going in one direction, or right after the Lishchas Atzlaim if you're going in the other direction. That only makes sense if the Lishchas Atzlaim was in the same place in both Mishnayos. If Lishchas Atzlaim was in a different place in both Mishnayos, then the Lishchas Lechem Apanim can't be next door to it in both Mishnayos. It can only be next door to it in both Mishnayos if it's exactly in the same place. So that makes sense if you assume that it was B'maravis Dromis. So then the Lechem Apanim is not a stira. Eli'i Amrit Sfonis Ma'aravis Havai. But if you're going to say that the Lishchas Atzlaim was in the northwestern side, so then sof my terutz of the Lechem Apanim, then you haven't really answered anything with the Lechem Apanim. Meaning, if you say that the Lishchas Atzlaim was literally in the, we're going to take that Mishnah literally, that it was in the Mishnah Maseches Tamid literally, that it was in the northwestern side, and you're going to say, oh, but when you count going toward your left, you're then going to hit the Lishchas Lechem Apanim fourth. earth, well then the Lishchas Lachem HaPanim ends up in the wrong location. The Lishchas Lachem HaPanim ends up in a different location than it ended up where the way it was listed in Maseches Midos. So you'd still be stuck with the Lishchas Lachem HaPanim. So Elav Shema Mina B'Marav Shdromus Havai Shema Mina. So you have to say that both Mishnayos assume that the Lishchas HaTloim was in the southwest and not in the northwest. So that's how to really be metarit the two Mishnayos, Maseches Tam, Maseches Midos. So long story short, we had a stira on the bottom of Daf Tes Vavam Beis between Maseches Midos and Maseches Tamid, where the Lishchas HaTlaim was the Lishchas HaTlaim the way it says in Maseches Tamid in the northwest, or the way it said in Maseches Midos in the southwest. First answer was Tzmachlokas. First answer was that the Mishnayos and Maseches Midos are all Rabbi Ben Yaakov Tzmachlokas. Second answer, the Gemara says no. Everyone agrees really that it was in the it was in the southwest, and the whole Machlokas is and the only reason it's described as being in the northwest is that it was a little bit off the southern wall. But everyone really holds it was the southwestern of the Lishchas, and the raya that must be the case is the way both of those Mishnayos describe the Lishchas Lechem Apanim. That if the Lishchas Lechem Apanim is really in the same place according to both Mishnayos, it's just a matter of whether we're going from right to left or we're going from left to right. But either way, it's right next door to the Lishchas HaTlaim. It must be that both Mishnayos assume that the Lishchas HaTlaim is in fact in the same place. Otherwise, the Lishchas Lechem HaPanim won't end up in the same place either. So, frankly, Gemara, now just parenthetically, the Gemara says the way we were mitarets is we said that the Mishnah Maseches Tamid is going to the left. The Mishnah Maseches Midos counts going to the right. The Mishnah Maseches Tamid counts going to the left. So the Gemara raises the question, but wait a second, how could we count anything going to the left? V'hamar mar kol pino shatapon lo yuel derech yamin lemizrach. Aren't we always supposed to go toward the right? Don't we say that whenever the Kohen is doing the avoda, he always goes toward the right to the mizrach? Sahani mili ba avoda avlach chushm nabi almahu. Yes, when the Kohen is doing avoda and he wants to know which way to turn, he should turn to the right. But when we're listing just the layout of the Beis Hamikdash, we don't have to list it in a way that goes from left to right. We can list it however we want, so that's not a problem. It's chushm nabi almahu. Tosfos here raises a couple of questions. If you look in the third wide line of Tosfos, he points out the Matsasi Kasuv Shehiksha Riva Amailo Mishani Akushi Delishchas Tlaim. Why don't we just answer? Meaning, we gave two answers to the Stira and Lishchas Tlaim. One that it's a Machlokas, and one that it's a little bit off the southern wall. So that's why we call it northwest, but it was really on the southwestern corner. Why don't we say by the Lishchas Tlaim the Hadakam Rdavim Mitzot Tzvonis Maravis? When the Mishnah says that it was in the northwestern side. Hainu bekeren tzfonus maravis shel Azara. Maybe that just means it was on the northwestern side of the Azara. Remember this thing about the Lishchas Beis Hamokan. We said yesterday that the Lishchas, or and 2 days ago, that the Lishchas Beis Hamokan was half in the Kodesh and half outside of the Kodesh. So half of the Lishchas Beis Hamokan was actually in the Azara. There were the Rashi Paspas, and there were these pegs that went along the middle of the Lishchas Beis Hamokan to divide it between the side that was Kodesh and the side that was Chol. So the Lishchas HaTzalim, granted, was in the southwestern side of the Beis Hamokan, but the Beis Hamokan was off to the north of the Azara. So the whole entire Beis Hamokan was off to the north of the Azara, with the first half actually running along the northern side of the Azara, being inside the northern side of the Azara, and the northern half of the Beis Hamokan just north of the Azara. So why don't we say the Lishchas Beis Hatzlaim, a brilliant etza, say that the way to be mitaris is the Lishchas Beis Hatzlaim was definitely in the southwestern corner of the Beis Hamokan, which happens to be on the northwestern corner of the Azara, because the Beis Hamokan was on the northern side of the Azara. The Azara was just to the south of the Beis Hamokan. So why don't we just give that answer? That it was the Beis Hamokan was to the north of the Azara, like he says, like he's drawing the picture. beis hamokan, and just say that one mishnah is talking about the directions in terms of the azara, and the other is talking about the beis hamokan. Va'od da'alachem apanim nami avimatzil shnuye dechashv nami asam derech yamin, and you could answer the lechem apanim also that both are talking are counting derech yamin. V'neimer the lishchas chasamos v'lishchas hamokan dechashv betamid v'lochashv mesachus midos lishchas acheros hayu ubetoch azara hayu, and maybe that explains the two lishchos that don't overlap in the two descriptions in the Mishnayos. Maybe the two lishchos of the chasamos and the two lishchos in the chasamos and lishchos hamokad, which are mentioned in Maseches Tamid and not in Maseches Midos, are different lishchos. These are lishchos of the azara. Achas b'mukzah tzvonus maravis shel azara, v'achas b'mukzah maravis tzvonus shel azara. Shu dromi shel beis hamokad gadol. Dikshatimna mi lishchos tam derech yimin arba lishchos havya lechma panim revius la dromis mizrachis shel beis hamokad gadol kazeh. So it will actually turn out that the lishchos lechma panim will be in the southeastern side of the Zara, but of the of the Beis Hamokad, but in the northeastern side of the Azara. So he says, "V'yeshlomer d'lomistaver lomer shayomer alze dal lishchos hayusham." He says it's hard to say that when we're talking about half of the things being in the Azara and half in the Beis Hamokad, that we're just going to refer to those as four evenly sized lishchos. Only two of them are actually in the Azara. How could you say that corners of the Azara and corners of the Beis Hamokad were equally sized corners? How could you put them together in the same breath? The Azara was so much larger than the Beis Hamokad. The Beis Hamokad was a room, it was a large room, but it was off of the side of the Azara. It wasn't nearly as large as the Azara. So when you're describing things that were in the corners of the Azara, Mistama Azara Gedola Yoser mi Beis Hamokad, the Azara was much larger than the Beis Hamokad. So corners of the Azara are not going to be described in the same way as corners of the Beis Hamokad. Aval Temeli, but Tos says, I'm still bothered by this whole daf so far. My duch ke derav huna b'rei derav Yeshua l'ukma stamid d'tamid v'lo pligi adadi ulukma b'chad tana v'hal karchuk pligi adadi d'stamid d'midos k'svara o kulim izbeach b'darom o rube k'dash kan hachav d'stamid d'tamid v'chuk b'rei k'ra kach kachim d'yisvara mizbeach mutsa. Meaning, what was wrong with yesterday's daf? Yesterday we said, what's the answer to the stira between tamid and midos? Different Tanaim taught the different Mishnayos. So today we have to come up with this fantastic pshat that it's not a stira at all. And now when we make Shalom al Yisrael, Maseches Tam, Maseches Midos, it all fits together. It anyway doesn't fit together. They put the Mizbeach in different places in Maseches Tam, Maseches Midos. So what are you saving anyway? It's so much easier. Just say it's a machlokas. Why do you have to come up with this whole fancy pshat? You're anyway not going to solve the problem because they're in different, the Mizbeach is in different locations. So he says, no. When we already know that there's a machlokes tanaim about a given issue, like a machlokes tanaim about the placement of the mizbeach, which we have three shitos in tanaim about where exactly the mizbeach was. So that we're not worried about saying, okay, so maseches tam and maseches midos reflect two different known opinions in tanaim about exactly where the mizbeach was. But we never find any Mishnah that tells us that there's a machlokas tanaim about where the lishchos are. So if we have two Mishnayos that seem to describe them differently, absent any known machlokas tanaim on the issue, we'd much prefer to say that there isn't a machlokas and that they can actually fit together. So that's what today's daf was all about. It was just making them fit together so far. That was the first half of the daf. So now we go on to the second half of the daf. Shekoyin gadol makrav chelik barosh, v'notel chelik barosh. We have finished Maseches Midos as far as Yuma is concerned, as far as the first part of Yuma is concerned. Now we move on to the concept that the Kohen Gadol is makrav chelik barosh and is notel chelik barosh. One of the rights that he has during the course of that week is he could always, during the course of the year even, is that he could always decide that he wants to be makriv, whatever he wants to be makriv, and he could be notel, whatever he wants to be notel. He could take whatever he wants to take. So Tana Rabbanan, Ketzan makriv chelik brosh. What does it mean he's makriv chelik brosh? Omer, he says, Olazu ani makriv, minchazu ani makriv. He decides that he wants to bring a certain carbon ola, he wants to bring a certain carbon mincha, so he has every right to do that. Ketzad no tel chelik brosh. What does it mean he's no tel chelik brosh? Omer, he could say, chatazu ani ochel, asham ze ani ochel. I'm going to eat this chatas, I'm going to eat this carbon asham. And not only that, v'notel chalom ishtei chalos, on Shavuos, when there's the Yom Tov, when there's the carbon of the Shtei Alechem, he gets one of the Shtei Alechem, of the two Shtei Alechem, he gets one of them if he wants. Arba ochamish mimais lechem upon him, plus he could get four or five out of the lechem upon him. We'll see in a little bit what it means, four or five. Which is it? Is it four of the lechem upon him or five of the lechem upon him? But four or five of the lechem upon him, Rebbe Omer Liolam Chamish. And Rebbe says he always gets five of the lechem upon him. Shenemar, v'haysa la'aron ulevanov, because it describes the lechem upon him being divided la'aron ulevanov, to Aaron and his children. So what does it mean, la'aron ulevanov? Mechza la'aron u'mechza Levanov, that he gets exactly half of the lechem upon him. That's why he gets five. Either 12 lechem upon him. We'll get to that also in a moment. How five ends up being half of the lechem upon him, if in fact there are 12 lechem upon him. But before we even get to that, says the Gemara, three statements in this brisa about what percentage of the bread a kohen gets. First, when describing the shtei lechem, we said he gets half. He gets one of the two. Then, when describing the lechem upon him, we said four or five. Then we had Rebbe saying always five, which we assume means half also. So Hagbu Fakasha. Am no tel chala achas mishtei chalos mani Rebbe damar palga shakil. The one that says that he gets the first statement that he gets one out of the two shtei alechem, that must be going like Rebbe, because Rebbe is the one that says that Aaron ubanav, that they split it evenly. Aaron gets half, and all the other kohanim get half. So that first line must be going like Rebbe, Ema Mitziyasa, but then the second line in the Braisa, Arba Ochamesh Mimais Lechem Upanim, four or five of the Lechem Upanim, Asan Rabbanan Dami Lo Shakil Palga. That seems like something like the Rabbanan that he doesn't necessarily get half. Otherwise, why is he ever getting four? Four, even if you're going to somehow fetch in that five is half, four is definitely not half. So it wouldn't make any sense that he's getting only four if that was going like Rebbe. So that must go like the Rabbanan that he doesn't get half. But the name is Seifa, but then the Braisa pipes up again, Rebbe Omer Liolam Chamesh, that Rebbe says he gets half, he gets five, which is half. So Reisha v'Seifa, Rebbe, Mitzias and Rabbanan, how does this Braisa make sense? It starts off with Rebbe, then shifts to the Rabbanan, then shifts back to Rebbe. That's not a normal way to write a Braisa. So the Gemara has two ways of understanding this Braisa, and that carries us all the way to the Mishnah. Let's try to get all the way to the Mishnah. So first, Amar Abaye says the way to understand it is as follows. Reisha, Mitzias and Rabbanan, both the Reisha and the Mitzias is going like the Rabbanan. Meaning, even the Reisha that says that he gets half of the Shtei Alechem, one out of the two Shtei Alechem, is going like the Rabbanon who holds normally he doesn't get half. Aye, why does he get half of the Shtei Alechem? Umod Rabbanon beprusa d'lavar achar lemitzvah l'koyen gadol. The Rabbanon are mode that even though normally he shouldn't get half, but the only other option with Shtei Alechem to give, if you want to give him less than half, is you're going to have to cut one of the Shtei Alechem into pieces in order to give him a percentage of it, and that's not derech eretz. That's not the way to give something to a koyen gadol. You don't give a prusa to a koyen gadol. Svasemes is not sure. Is it a din in the nesina to the koyen gadol? Or is it a din in being pores that you wouldn't slice it? Let's say it broke by itself. Would we then say to give a prusa to the kohen gadol? Or is it a din in at that point there's no chisaron in giving the prusa? There's only a chisaron in actually cutting it. So Sasemis raises such a suffix. But anyway, that's why the Rabbanan, even the Rabbanan, who normally don't like giving half to the Kohen Gadol, would say we'd sooner give exactly half than to cut up one of the loaves. Umay arba or chamesh. Okay, but how did the Rabbanan understand arba or chamesh? Why did the Rabbanan say four or five in the mitziyasa of the Braisa? So the Rabbanan, damri nichnas notal sheish, v'yotzei notal sheish, v'schar hagafas delasos, lo mishtei mesrei bayi miflag. If you assume like the shita of the Rabbanan, that the mishmar hanichnas, this is a major discussion in Masecha Sukkah, in the last parak, at the very end of Masecha Sukkah, how exactly they would divide the lechem upanim. So if you assume like the opinion of the Rabbanan over there, that the mishmar that was coming in to do the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash for the coming week would take six of the Lechem HaPanim that, and the Mishmar that was leaving, that had just done the Avodah the previous week, would take six. And Schar HaGafas Losos Lo Mishtei Masrei Bayim Miflag, in terms of paying for the HaGafas Losos, for the closing of the doors of the Azara, that didn't come from the Lechem HaPanim. So Batir Chad Mipalga Chamesh Shakil. So the Rabbanon hold, you can't get half. So you don't get half, you give the Kohen Gadol one less than half. What's one less than half? Five. So that's how he would end up with five. How would he ever end up with four? That was going to Rabbi Yehuda. That assumes like the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Damar nitnas notel sheva, shtayim bischara gafas lasos, viyotze notel chamesh. That the mishmar and nitnas gets two off the top. From the lechem apanim, you immediately give the mishmar and nitnas two for the schar of the gafas lasos. Now there's 10 left to divide. So of the lechem apanim that's actually being divided, there are only 10 loaves that are being divided. What would half of that be? Half of 10 would be 5. But again, we're assuming like the Rabbanan that the Kohen Gadol is not entitled to half. He's entitled to one less than half. So what's one less than half? Four. So that's why the Rabbanan say it's either four or five. Me'eser bayim miflag, batzir chada mipalga v'shakil arba. You're only dividing 10. Take one off of the of half of 10, and you end up with four. So when the Rabbanan say he gets four or five, when our Rabbanan, the Rabbanan over here in this brisa, say he gets four or five, they mean that according to Rabbi Yehuda in Maseches Sukkah he gets four, and according to the Rabbanan in Maseches Sukkah he gets five. But the rule is it's always less than half. The only time you would ever get half is when you're giving him from the Shtei Alechem, because we don't want to cut it up into pieces. That's Abaye's understanding of the three statements of the Braisa. Says Rava Amar Kula Rebihi. No, the whole Braisa is going like Rebbe, that the Kohen Gadol should get exactly half. So let's think it through. The first line of the Braisa that said that he gets one out of the two Shtei Alechem, perfect. That's exactly like Rebbe. The last line where it says that he gets five out of the Lechem HaPanim, you could also say that's half if you assume that the Kohen gets that the Mishmar HaNichnas gets two for the Hagafas Lasos. So you're only splitting 10 loaves, so half of that is five. What about the line that says that he gets four or five? How is four ever going to be half? So v'savar lak Rabbi Yehuda, we're assuming like Rabbi Yehuda, first of all, that the Mishmar Nichnas gets two for the Agafas Lasos, so we only generally split 10 loaves of bread. Velamai arba hachamish by the Mishkal. But then again, how do you ever end up with four? How does a Kohen Gadol ever end up with four? He should always get five, because he should get half. Says Gemara lo kasha, hadika Mishmar misakev, hadaleka Mishmar. When Yantav falls out on Monday, so the Mishmar Yotze is not always going to be interested in leaving right away. They don't want to be traveling on Erev Yantav, so they're not always going to leave right away. So sometimes there's an extra Mishmar that's around. There's the Mishmar Misakev that's stuck around from the previous week because they stayed through Yantav. So yeah, when you have a Mishmar Misakev, so then you have three Mishmaros to worry about. And then the halacha is the Mishmar Misakev gets two loaves. So you cut off another two loaves from the top. So two loaves for the Hagafas Lasos, two loaves for the Mishmar Misakev. How much are you left with to split? So you're left with only eight to split. So half of eight is still four. So that's how you're going to have four loaves of bread for the Kohen Gadol, even if you hold like Rebbe, that the Kohen Gadol gets exactly half. If there's a Mishmar Misakev, you're dividing a total of eight loaves, and he takes four. If there's no Mishmar Misakev, then you're dividing amongst 10 loaves, and he gets five. So says Gemara, wait a second. I understand Rava's approach, that the whole thing's going like Rebbe, and the whole Bryce is like Rebbe, and we're just assuming like Rebbe that they get exactly five. But ihachi my Rebbe Omer liolam chamesh. The Brisa says the last line in that Brisa was Rebbe Omer that it's always five. What do you mean? You just said that the line before that, where it could be four or five, is also going like Rebbe. To then introduce Rebbe Omer liolam chamesh. So says Gemara Kasha. That in fact is very difficult. So the lashon of Kasha we know does not always necessarily mean that we slug it up. The lashon of Kasha is not the same as Tiyufta. So even though we reject Rebbe from the lashon of the Gemara, it sounds like we reject Rava rather. It sounds that it's not a kasha that's unanswerable on Rava. In fact, The Rambam paskins in Tmidim Musav in Parag Dalet Alach Yudalet that the Kohen Gadol takes mechza mikol mishmar shezacha bechelko, like the sheet of Rabbi who learns from Laron Ulevanov that's mechza Laron and mechza Ulevanov. So it sounds from the Rambam that he holds like Rava, who explained the whole brisa according to Rabbi, and that's why he paskins like that. All the Achronim ask, well, why would the Rambam paskin like Rava? Rava's rejected at the end. So the Achronim point out, you look through the Rishonim over here, the Ritva and others, they show what the answer might be to defend Rava over here, that there is some answer to defend Rava. Lech Mishnah just says, no, the Rambam holds that the Brisa is like Abaye said the Brisa. How did Abaye explain the Brisa, though? That in the Brisa itself, it's the Chacham in the Brisa argue granted the Chacham in the Brisa argue on Rebbe, the Rambam Paschal is like Rebbe, because there are other Sugyas that sound like Rebbe. So just because he explains the Brisa like the Rabbanon, doesn't, like Abaye explains the Brisa, that it's going like the Rabbanon, doesn't mean that he's not allowed to pass like Rebbe. Maybe he passes like Rebbe, even though this Brisa is not like Rebbe. So then you won't have to answer how the Rambam go like Rav at the end of the day. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up at the Mishnah tomorrow.